can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, everybody. We are thankful that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM this morning, today's Modern Worship. And we pray that the next half hour that we spend together talking about the Word of God will be a blessing in your life. It's not an easy topic we're talking about right now. We're talking about things that belong to God, and one of those things is vengeance. And, there's an old saying, if you want something done right, you need to do it yourself. And a lot of people want to apply that philosophy to getting revenge on people who have done things bad to them. And God has different plans than that. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we need to elevate ourselves above what is common or natural to man and do it God's way. I want to say thank you to the folks of Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you're in Central Brevard County and you want to make sure that your air conditioning is working appropriately, you can give them a call, 321-759-3284. You know, one of the things that air conditioning does is it doesn't just change the temperature of the air, but it also helps to maintain the proper humidity balance in the air. And this time of year, humidity is like everywhere. I remember we had moved here from Texas, and that first summer, now Texas gets hot. Oklahoma got hot. Texas got hot. It was not unusual for it to be over 100 degrees, sometimes for weeks on end, and no rain. I remember growing up and the ground cracking and stuff like that. But when we came to Florida, I remember walking out of the department store that I worked in, and the first step, so it had been a little after 5 o'clock of an evening, I would just get smacked right in the face with all of this heat. And it was like, where did my air go? And there was just so much humidity. And now I've just come to accept that there's a period of time where the chances that it's going to rain every afternoon are better than it's not going to rain. Air conditioning will help control the humidity level in your house. In fact, one of our thermostats has the humidity percentage on there. And Creative AC Solutions, they know how to specialize in all of that stuff. It's not just about keeping the proper temperature, but keeping everything at the right levels. If you need your air conditioning service, give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284, and you'll be glad that you did. So today we're going to be talking about vengeance is mine, says the Lord, one more time. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Now, this might take us a little bit longer to go through because this has got a few more verses in it. But let me begin reading in Hebrews, chapter 10, verse number 15. It says, "But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' says the Lord, 'I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is remission of sins, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So we've talked about that vengeance is under God's ownership. It belongs to him. So we don't need to appropriate that to ourselves when it belongs to God. We've got to be faithful stewards in that area as well. Yesterday, we talked about out of the book of Romans how that we need to respond to persecution with blessing. We respond with blessing, not cursing. And we respond to our enemies by giving them food if they're hungry, giving them water if they are thirsty. And we make it possible for God to work in their life in such a way that they will respond and be transformed by the grace of God. So that's the concept we looked at yesterday. So now we are going to look at a different aspect. And this, like I said, might take us more than a day to get through, but we want to treat it with the time factor and the sufficiency to bring understanding to that situation. There's a lot of powerful things that are talked about here in this passage. So verse number 16 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days." Now, you know, Old Testament is literally an old covenant, and the New Testament is the new covenant that was established in the blood of Jesus. So his blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. His body was broken so that our bodies could be made whole. He was the sacrifice that sealed the covenant that said everything that belonged to God is now belongs to us, and everything that belonged to us, good, bad, indifferent, now belongs to God. We have a mutual resource pool. If one is under attack, we're going to come to defend them. If the other is under the attack, God will come to our rescue. Well, you know, I want you to know the Bible says that as the saints of God, we are to contend for the faith. It is part of what we are called to do. It doesn't mean that we take up, you know, shields and swords and all of that sort of stuff. That's not the way that you contend for the faith. It's a spiritual gift, and it must be dealt with in spiritual manners. But it needs to be something that we say, you know what? I'm willing to take on this battle because Jesus gave everything for me. It is something that he committed. He made the choice. He entrusted faith to the saints once and for all. There is no backup plan. So there is that aspect of the covenant where all of the resources are available to both parties, and both parties recognize that if one is under attack, the other is under attack. Now, as far as the covenant here in verse number 16 is talked about, the Holy Spirit says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." So the covenant is not just about external provision, external resources. If we want to talk about salvation, we can get amens all day long. If we want to talk about healing, we can get amens all day long. If we want to talk about the, you know, that God gives us the Holy Spirit, we can get amens about half the day. Kind of just a little bit of a joke there. There's not going to be people as willing to amen that. We want to talk about the spiritual giftings that he gives to each and every one of us. So we're going to be able to find some agreement on that. A lot of times we talk about the external provisions, but now God says that the covenant actually needs to have an internalization as well. And so it says, I'm going to put my laws into their hearts. It is an entirely different lifestyle that you lead when you have a heart to walk in accordance with the law of God. You know, the world's mindset is kind of, how much can I get away with before I get in trouble? How much can I do? You know, they're looking for the boundaries. In Texas, we had the church we were part of out there, they had a lot of ranchers, and they said whenever they would bring a new bull into their herd, that one of the first things that bull would do is he would walk the entire perimeter of the fence. And in doing so, he wasn't just determining where the property was. He was looking to see if there were any weak spots in the fence. He was looking for a way of escape. His nature wanted to break forth from the boundaries that had been established. And so this one rancher said, you know, that his dad had a prize bull, but it was constantly breaking out and running away. And finally the dad said, I've got to take him down and auction him off, because I don't care if he's a prize bull or not. You know, he is not respecting the boundaries that have been established for him. And so they went and auctioned the bull off. So you and I, we need to recognize that when God sets a mandate in place, it's not because he's trying to be restrictive of us. It is that he is trying to be a blessing to us and be protective to us. And so there's got to be, if we have truly entered into covenant with God, we're going to find that the Holy Spirit is working inside of us, creating a desire to walk according to the mandates of God. He says, I'm going to put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. So again, it is a completely different way of thinking. Okay, I don't know if you've ever had to think differently. I remember when we were growing up and when our kids were growing up, that there was a time where there was a transition in the teaching approach. Whenever they would start educating the children, they would teach them to think in concrete concepts. You know, things that you could see, things that you could touch, things that you could feel or smell. There were things that, you know, were easy to understand. But I believe it was when I was growing up, about fourth grade, they would transition to start getting you to think about abstract things. And people who excelled with concrete many times struggled in dealing with the abstract. Well, I want you to know there's another area of thinking that we need to develop in, and that is, we need to have our minds renewed so we think like children of the Most High God, and we begin to think in spiritual concepts, not just abstract, not just concrete, but we begin to think about the things of the Spirit. God says, I'm going to put these things in your mind. So David would say, I meditate on the Scriptures. I hide your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. you know, Paul would write in Philippians chapter 4, these are the things that you are to think about. Other places, you need to have this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus. There, it is part of the covenant. It is a benefit of the covenant that we get to think spiritually. Okay, that sets us up for where we're going here with the concept of vengeance. We have to think from a spiritual perspective instead of from a carnal and vindictive. Everybody understands vengeance. Everybody understands you did me bad, I'm going to do bad to you. Everybody understands that. It takes a divine impartation from God that changes our mind so that we think, okay, God, how can I respond to this person in such a way that they are going to say yes to you being their Savior and their Lord? Okay? He says, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. There was a time we were living in a very small area. We had been pastors of the church for a few years. And there was a person who had, they'd stirred up quite a bit of trouble, and they were a good friend of mine. They were. And they had said some things that weren't biblical. They had done some things, and they eventually moved out of the area. And one night I get a phone call at the house. And I don't remember exactly what year it was, but I could go back and look it up. But the Green Bay Packers had won the Super Bowl, and this person remembered that Green Bay was the team that I rooted for. And so they called to congratulate me on Green Bay winning the Super Bowl. And so they called at night. My wife is sitting there, and she's listening to me, and I'm talking to him just like I would talk to anybody else. And the conversation came to an end, and I hung up the phone, and she said, How can you talk to him like that after all that he did? I said, well, the truth of the matter is I've already granted forgiveness to that person. They just haven't repented to make themselves available of that forgiveness yet. You see, there's repentance, which is the part and responsibility of the party that offends. Forgiveness is the responsibility of the offended party, and reconciliation is made possible when both of the individuals do their part. Later on, that guy came to town. He said, can we do lunch? I said, sure. And so I went to lunch with him. Still had never had any, you know, ultimate reconciliation. And he said, you know, I'm really sorry for the things that I did back in the day. And I said, well, I want you to know I forgave you years ago, but that's the first time you've ever repented, the first time you've ever apologized. And we left that lunch, and you know, we left brothers. And you say, well, you still remember that? Well, I remember the reconciliation. I remember the things that led up to it. I remember the key things. But I tell you what I don't do. I do not keep a ledger sheet of those things and say, you know what? That person did this to me, and so therefore I've got to do something bad to them. That's not the way that God operates. The truth of the matter is all of us have sinned. All of us have missed the mark. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and we deserve judgment. But God is working mightily to get people to come to the place that they will repent of their sins and repent of their lawlessness. Okay, lawlessness is running rampant in America. A lot of people want to rewrite their own laws so that they can get by with this and do this and that. And God is not here to endorse lawlessness. He is here to forgive lawlessness so that it is no longer remembered. But what that means is there's got to be a transformation where we get on with the business of the Word of God. Okay? We've got to get back to the Word of God. If we're ever going to see the revival in America that we need to see, we've got to get to that place where we are willing to repent. Jesus is willing to forgive. Where we need to repent, or where we need to extend forgiveness, and we need to get to the place where we're not constantly dragging that stuff back up over and over and over again. Okay? There are some people who, when they are having what I call moments of intense fellowship in their home, that means husband and wife are, you know, not getting along on the same terms. There's not a whole lot of peace, harmony, and joy at that point in time. Sometimes the intense fellowship is generational between parents and kids. Whatever it is, that there are people who, when they get into those moments of intense fellowship, they start going Darth Vader, if you will, and they start bringing in something from over here and something from the past and something from 30 years ago and something that you might or might not have thought. And I mean, they're just hurling all sorts of objects into this, and they're not staying germane to bringing about a peaceful resolution. We need to say, you know what? I know you're bringing that up, but I repented of that 72 years ago. I'm not 72 years old, by the way. I repented of that 72 years ago, and you forgave me of that 72 years ago. At some point in time, you've got to say, I'm not going to keep the ledger anymore. When God forgives us, He removes those things, and He doesn't remember them anymore. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So God wants us to come to the place where our sins and our lawless deeds are wiped out. Verse number 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We've only got 4 minutes or so here left in the program. So there's a lot that is said there that we are able to enter into the presence of God, the holy presence of God, by the blood of Jesus. It's a new and living way, which He consecrated for us. It is through the veil, that is His flesh, and we have a high priest over the house of God. So all of that covenant work that was done was to empower the body of Christ, the brethren, throw in there the cistern too, I guess, not the cistern as in the well, but cistern, brethren and cistern. The body of Christ has boldness to come into the holy presence of God. He made it possible. He made it possible. I remember one time that there was a person that was talking about everything that was going on in their life, and they were having some physical challenges. And I said, well, you know what? I'm gonna pray for you. And they said, oh, don't bother praying for me. There are a lot of people that are in worse shape than I am. It's not about better or worse shape. It is about, if you've got a need, we have the boldness to come before the throne of grace where we can find help in our time of need. We need, according to verse number 22, to avail ourselves of the things that have been made possible to us by Jesus Christ, and let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Okay. This is necessary if we're going to succeed in the latter part of this chapter with the things we're told to do there. We've got to be willing to allow God to do the work inside of us that needs to be done so that we have access to the throne room of heaven. I don't know if you've ever tried to sing a song that you weren't sure that you could hit the note. I can tell you this, if you're not sure you can hit the note, you won't hit the note. I don't know if you've ever driven and you weren't sure you were headed in the right direction, and the uncertainty manifests in the way that you drive. Well, there are a lot of people who are living and they don't live in covenant with God. They don't recognize or understand the provisions that are made possible. So they kind of come before the throne of grace hoping or wishing to find a favorable audience with God instead of knowing that God's made it possible by covenant for us to come into his presence. He says we need to come near with full assurance of faith. Because that concept of covenant says, God, you said if I was under attack, you would mobilize your resources to make sure that the enemy was turned back defeated. We need God to give us that a full assurance. And it says that the covenant bears manifestation in our hearts, and it affects our conscience, and it affects the way that we live, our bodies being washed with water. And so I'm very thankful for the work that God has done. We're going to get to the place in the next program or two where we see what God really has to say about this third aspect of vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But the time is slipping away from us today, so we will have to touch on this again tomorrow. And so I will bid thee adieu. I pray that you have a blessed day, a glorious day, and a day where you overcome. May God grant you peace and joy and full assurance and faith that you can come boldly before the throne room of heaven. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Would you believe me? Would you listen if I told you that? There is a love that makes a way and never holds you back. So won't you break free, won't you break free? Get up and dance in his love. Won't you break free, won't you break free? Get up and dance in his love. Who would have thought that God would give his one and only son? Taking a stand upon the cross to show his perfect love. So won't you break free, won't you break free, get up and dance.